Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Positive Living Network. And I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a great show for you today and a terrific guest. My guest is Marielle Hemingway, and she's a terrific guest. I've had her on the program before. She is the author of Marielle's Kitchen, Simple Ingredients for a Delicious and Satisfying Life. But you know Marielle for many other things. As the granddaughter of the illustrious author Ernest Hemingway, Marielle Hemingway was destined to be in the public eye. But at just 13 years old, she became famous in her own right. She made her feature film debut in Lipstick. 4 years later, she earned an Oscar nomination for her role in Woody Allen's film Manhattan. She's an actress, model, yoga instructor, mother of two teenage girls, and one of the leading voices for holistic and balanced living. In her 2006 book, Healthy Living from the Inside Out, she was widely received for its balanced approach to food and to lifestyle. Welcome, Marielle.
Hi.
How are you? Good. I've had you on the program before, and it's so exciting to have you on again. Let's talk about your book, Marielle's Kitchen, Simple Ingredients for a Delicious and Satisfying Life. Now, how did you decide to go from the first book, which was Healthy Living from the Inside Out, to Marielle's Kitchen?
Healthy Living from the Inside Out was about home food, exercise, and silence. And there was so much, you know, I think for me, I grew up in a real foodie household, and I think that people wanted more food. I mean, we do it three times a day, sometimes less, sometimes more, depending on who you are. And it's something that I feel very strongly is a very powerful ritual that leads us towards finding ourselves. And being conscious and aware when you eat really leads you towards a more conscious, aware self. So I felt it was just a really great progression from, you know, home food, exercise, and silence to the food aspect, which is such an important ritual and ceremony that we sort of lost track of in America especially. We sort of don't value how important eating and the ritual of eating is.
Well,
and that ritual can be very healing.
Don't you think part of that is that we're so obsessed with being heavy and being fat and overeating and that we're not enjoying our food because we're worrying so much about what we're eating?
Well, I think we're completely worried about it or we're throwing it out the window and we're not worried enough about it. I mean, I think indeed that society has placed this tremendous pressure around food, so we've taken it as though it's not this beautiful healing thing that it is, because food is medicine. Food, you know, it's true when they say you are what you eat to a certain degree, and if you eat a lot of fast food and everything is about, you know, high-intensity caffeine and a lot of sugar, your life is going to mirror that. Your body and the rituals of your life are going to be fast-paced, intense, stressed, because that's the fuel that you put in is mirroring and resonating that kind of frequency. So it doesn't mean that you never get to have that food, but being conscious that all the food that we put into our bodies has a direct effect on how we appear in the world, how we walk into our day.
You know, when I look at your book, which is so beautifully done, it's a gorgeous picture book, and you look at, I mean, these pictures of tomatoes and artichokes and apples and healthy food. I mean, it's very beautifully done and done with love. And as I said, the cookbook has just so many gorgeous pictures that when you look at this, you look at this differently. I mean, I think of this as how wonderful. We often think of dieting and eating healthy as punishment. And when you look at the food, you see it's not at all. It's beautiful.
Well, that's exactly why I did this as well, because I'm tired of people making health and wellness and, you know, and eating healthy, just like you said, as something that should hurt and it's bad for me and, you know, now that I'm eating well, what a big pain in the butt it is, and I'm not going to have any more fun in my life. And I don't think that that's what good food is about. I think good food is actually just about the opposite. It should be the most flavorful, the most intriguing, the most tantalizing, the most sensual, the most seductive food that you can eat, but you have to know how to make it. And that's another reason why I wrote Marielle's Kitchen.
What about people, Marielle, who are working and don't have time? don't have time to do a lot of cooking.
Well, that's the, I was just getting to that. That was the whole point of the book, is that it should be easy as well. There's no sense that really good food has to be complicated. In fact, the less complicated good food is, the better it is for you and the better it tastes. We've gotten it, you know, we're a society that loves the Food Network and we love complicated and intriguing sauces and this and that and the other thing, you know, ways to hide our food. But the truth is, the least amount, and Alice Waters talks about this, the least amount of damage you do to the food, in other words, you touch it the least, you put just the right kind of seasoning, just the right amount of whatever, creates the, it brings out the delicacy of the food. It really brings out its true nature.
You
and
know,
then,
really,
then it becomes a connection.
And if you look at this book, and I'm not just saying this to promote the book, I mean, everything you're saying really fits in. The pictures are beautiful. Even the descriptions. So, for example, you think of pot roast as, grass-fed beef pot roast with mild mushrooms and cipollini onions. That gives it a whole different taste, doesn't it?
Exactly. And that's the whole point. And those, and because the book's seasonal, you know, that's what you get. It's more of a wintertime dish. We're going into winter now. We want to hibernate and hunker down and have food that's more grounding. And that kind of food, when you think of it free-range, grass-fed, you know where your meat's been. It's not an abused animal.
Isn't there a whole
that has a difference in your body? Excuse
absolutely,
me.
As you said, eating the grass-fed where it hasn't been an abused animal and it's been, you know, raised well and eaten well. But what about eating by the seasons? I mean, isn't there a whole theory, a whole food theory about how we should be eating off of the land? So, like, for example, we would eat a pineapple in the summer, and we might not even eat a pineapple in a certain part of the country where they don't grow. I mean, there are theories around that.
There's something very powerful to be said about that. My book is separated into the seasons: spring, summer, winter, and fall. And the reason is because there's two reasons. Number one, the amount of carbon footprint that happens because we eat blueberries from Chile in the middle of the winter or pineapples from wherever they come is a huge imprint. And ecologically, that makes a powerful statement. But secondly, our bodies are designed to eat foods in season. For instance, you know, it's fall now, more root vegetables, it's getting colder, our body, you know, again, kind of like the winter, you want to ground, you want to have more solid food, you want to have, you know, it's a time to eat more grains, whereas in the summer you eat more raw food, less grains, more, you know, more fruits and more light vegetables, more colored foods. It's just our bodies actually resonate towards that kind of food during the right kind of season.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said for that, both ecologically, you know, for somebody wanting to be green-minded, which
right.
I talked about.
Also, though, do you find sometimes, though, if people's bodies are thrown off, meaning, Marielle, that they, you know, they've been eating junk food or they're getting off of foods that aren't good for them, they might not even have that thermostat or apostat to understand what's working in their system with the seasons.
Absolutely. And I think that's an important thing to say because what you need to do is you need to, it's almost like recalculating the system. You have to reorganize the way that you've thought about food. So it doesn't happen overnight. Because when I talk about changing your food, people have to do it slow in order to do it as a lifestyle change. Because otherwise it becomes, the diet, you know, that I'm getting ready for the holidays or I'm going to get in shape after the holidays, whatever it is. Eating well, eating right, eating healthy is a lifestyle choice that you make. So I tell people, if you want to change your food, change your breakfast. Change what you eat for breakfast for 2-3 weeks and see how different you feel. Because people don't know, and they've been so desensitized by their food, by diet drinks and diet, you know, fake sugars, too much salt, all these different things, fried foods, whatever, that our systems don't even know what the taste of real good food is. You kind of have to kind of pull away from those more what I call noisy foods or toxic foods in order to be able to taste fully.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, do you recommend that people buy their produce at farmers markets or that they buy organic? Do you think that's important?
I do think it's important, and I especially think it's important to support locally grown and your farmers markets, absolutely, for many different reasons. Number one, again, for the ecology, you know, for our environment, it's hugely important. Number two, it's higher quality, it's fresher. Number three, you're supporting a local farmer, which economically is a really good thing to do. And also important is the fact that usually you can get organic or biodynamic or something or sustainable for a lot cheaper when you get it from a farmer's market than, you know, when you go to Whole Foods or a fancier, you know, market. But it is important to eat as much organic as you can within your budget, because making certain choices really have an effect on the body.
The budget comes into play, doesn't it, Marielle? Or does it
have? It does come into play, but my sort of argument towards that, and trust me, I understand when people say it's expensive. I get that. But it's very expensive to get sick. And if you think of food as medicine as something that heals you, that is actually part of your preventative medicine in life, then you look at food differently. And you can make choices. Okay, maybe I don't buy all organic, but certain things I know are really good for me when I buy them organically. You know, certain fruits and vegetables that aren't sprayed, it's just really important. Buying good meat, chicken and fish, is very, very important, because you don't need to do it as often, but you should do not abused, you know, so it doesn't have to be all the time. It's about making different choices and being conscious of the choices you make in food. That's all it is. And it doesn't mean you change your life upside down, you know?
Right. In your book, you write, wake up to what you put in your body. Notice how your food or drink feels, how it heals or hurts, and you will inevitably wake up to your whole life.
Well, I kind of brushed on this in the beginning. I really believe that the food we eat mirrors in our life. So when you become conscious and wake up to your food, wake up to how it makes you feel, how the taste is, the flavors, and really, you know, an hour later, am I tired or am I energized? Am I excited about my life? Food has a tremendous chemical effect on the brain. So when you wake up to what you're eating, it begins to be a guide to you in how you're going to feel for the rest of your day.
Yeah. And, you know, when we think about moods and we think about foods for mood, and many times when we're feeding our children sugary substances, it just makes them very high temporarily, doesn't it? And I'm wondering if some of the foods that we're giving our kids and even ourselves creates this ADD, compulsiveness and also attention deficit disorder.
Absolutely. Well, it does. I mean, there's no question. I've raised two daughters, and the effect of, you know, when they went to weekends at friends' homes and they ate pizza and a ton of sugar and all that stuff, not that that's bad once in a while, but they came back depressed.
Really?
They came back cranky. Oh, yeah, because they didn't eat that at home. And I didn't prevent it. You know, I didn't say you couldn't eat it out because I think that that's a whole other issue that you need to rebel against later. So I thought, oh, I'll prevent that. But they would come back and they would be like, oh, I need salad. I need real food. I don't feel that good. And they'd be upset or they'd be hyperactive. ADD, I think, was never as bad as it is now. But kids eat 90% sugar now and fake sugar and all these kind of fake diet products and all these different things. And it's not right for a body, and it's especially not right for a growing body. When they don't eat proper amounts of protein and fat, but good quality protein and fat, their brain doesn't develop properly.
Right.
It's one of the highest causes of autism is gluten, but not because gluten per se is bad, but because of what we do to process gluten. There's so many pesticides in grains.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are talking to the renowned Marielle Hemingway. Her new book is Marielle's Kitchen, and it's Simple Ingredients for a Delicious and Satisfying Life. She's written Healthy from Living from the Inside Out, and she's the granddaughter of the illustrious author Ernest Hemingway. She earned an Oscar nomination for her role in Woody Allen's film Manhattan, and she is one of the leading voices in holistic and balanced living. And so when we come back, we're going to talk more to Mariel Hemingway about her book, Mariel's Kitchen. You're listening to Patricia Raskin, Positive Living, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. Are back. You are listening to Patricia Raskin, Positive Living, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And well, we have a special guest today. I'm so excited. Mariel Hemingway. Mariel Hemingway is very well known. She's the granddaughter of the illustrious author Ernest Hemingway. She was really destined to be in the public eye. She made her feature film debut at the age of 14 in Lipstick, and 4 years later, she earned an Oscar nomination for her role in Woody Allen's film Manhattan. She's an actress, model, yoga instructor, mother of two teenage daughters, and one of the leading voices for holistic and balanced living. Her book in 2006 was Healthy Living from the Inside Out, and her new book, which is just beautiful, everyone, Mariel's Kitchen, Simple Ingredients for a Delicious and Satisfying Life. Welcome back, Mariel. This
Hi.
Book is like this gorgeous picture book, I mean, as I was telling everybody.
Aww.
And it's really quite beautiful. And also, the recipes are not complex. You know, they're
No.
really, I mean, they're very straightforward. They're not complex. Everything's very whole and organic. I mean, you talk about turkey and veggie sausages in the spring. You have beautiful pictures of different vegetables and gardens, and it's quite a lovely book. How did you come up with the recipes, Mariel?
Well, a lot of recipes came from growing up. My mother was an amazing, amazing cook, and I'm not sure if I told
oh.
you this story, but my father was brought up in Paris. He spent the first 11 years of his life in Paris, and when he met my mother, who was a native Idahoan, he didn't think somebody from Idaho really knew how to cook, so he sent her to Cordon Bleu in Paris.
This
and
sounds
so,
like you're your child.
Well, that... You're going to laugh when I tell you the rest of the story. So she was sent to Cordon Bleu to learn how to cook. They got married in Paris, and who was their maid of honor? Julia Child.
Oh, is that something?
I kid you not. How funny is that?
Wow. So she learned
so
how to cook.
She had a lot of amazing recipes. Even though we grew up in Idaho, we ate really well. We always ate, you know, differently than my friends. And so it was, you know, this food household. And then... But, you know, what I noticed is that food was, you know, a replacement for love. And what I want, as I was raising my daughters, I wanted food to be come from love, to be an expression of love. So that's what Mariel's Kitchen is about. It's about, you know, getting back to the ritual of food, the ceremony of food, and having food come from, I care about you, and I'm sharing, even I care about myself, because, you know, often we eat alone. And it should be this expression of self-love and self-care and care of others. You know, it's really a service to others to bring them food. And to do it with heart means a lot.
You know, I think, Mariel, we have gotten away from that. I know for a while I had studied macrobiotics, which is that whole theory of food is healing. And we've gotten away from that in our culture. And what you're doing really here is bringing us back to that. Food is nourishment.
Yeah.
Food is nurturing. Food is healing. Food is wonderful. Not, you know, be careful, don't eat that. You're going to gain
yeah,
3 pounds.
Exactly.
Watch this. Don't touch
exactly
this.
Exactly right. And I talk about that. Give yourself permission. You know, it's like you don't have to give up everything, but when you have something that's delicious, delectable, and something that you really cherish, give yourself permission to do it. But that doesn't mean that you do that extravagant, overindulgent thing all the time. But when you do it, enjoy it.
Yes.
Really give yourself
right.
the permission to
right.
love
rather
it.
Rather than, oh, I shouldn't be eating this candy.
Dynamic.
Oh, I shouldn't be eating this candy. Right.
Well, that changes the frequency of it, and it actually has a harmful
yeah.
effect on you.
Interesting.
It doesn't mean that every time you eat something bad, oh, I give myself permission. You know, that's also, you know, that's a poor excuse. It's like the pregnant woman I'm eating for two, literally. You know, I was like,
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think so. 300 calories more isn't, you know, 1700s.
It's the intent and consciousness around it, isn't it, Marielle? You know, something else I want to mention when you were talking about your mother going to the French cooking school. You know, one of the people I had talked to about food was talking about how in Europe it's so different, and certainly they'll eat French pastries, which are, you know, heavy with fats, but it's the way that they eat, it's the ingredients they use. They don't eat in between meals. They don't eat standing up over the kitchen counter. They sit down, and meals are a celebration.
Absolutely. And food isn't processed in the same way. Fat isn't bad. Fat's gotten a really bad rap, and it did that in this country. It was a total make-money scheme. No fat was big dollars for the dairy industry, actually. They created no-fat milk, low-fat milk, 2% milk, as a way to do something with the water that was left over after they made cream and butter. And so they created – so it's just all to make money. So, you know, fat got this really bad name, like it was really bad for you. The amount of the incidence of diabetes has gone up 100-fold since the no-fat craze.
Really?
Because
wow.
Sugar is what causes body fat, not fat. Not good fat. Bad fat, you know, is just bad for you. But good fat is good for you. Good dairy, good raw dairy that is not pasteurized or homogenized.
Yes.
Is very,
and certain
very
cheeses are very good too, right?
Absolutely.
Certain cheeses.
Especially if they're raw. Once dairy has been homogenized or pasteurized, it loses all nutritive value. And people don't know that. We've been led to believe that you need to pasteurize and homogenize because that makes it healthier and cleaner. And what it does is it actually destroys the bacteria that heals us, that helps us to digest. So that's why they say, you know, in a macrobiologist or a vegan will say, well, you know, no cow no cow drinks milk after it's weaned. And that people shouldn't drink it either, but they should only not drink it if it's been processed.
Yeah.
At all. It's actually a very pure, healthy food. But we, you know, because we want to make money in this country especially, we process everything.
Yeah. Well, that's the issue. Now, how do we teach this? You know, how do you help people? So, for example, someone might come to you and say, look, Marielle, I really buy what you're saying, but I've got a son or I've got a spouse or I've got a whoever in my house that doesn't want to touch this stuff. How do we start to integrate it in for people who aren't buying this, literally and figuratively?
That's another reason why I came out with Marielle's Kitchen. I've got a lot of recipes that you have no clue once you make them that they're, you know, quote-unquote healthy. You can't tell that my Bliskits, which are these cookies that are sugar-free, gluten-free, are healthy. They're just delicious. They're really good, and they don't have anything bad in them, and they're actually good for you. I'm actually marketing them in the marketplace. They're going to come out in Target in the next few months.
And what is
it called? They're called Bliskits. But the thing is, good food doesn't have to be bad tasting, and that's what Marielle's Kitchen's about. Good food, just regular good food. You don't have to say, oh, this is healthy. You just make it, and it's delicious, and nobody says, you know, you have a souffle, and it tastes good. You don't question, oh, was it healthy? I don't like it anymore. But there is a problem, and you know, people are used to saturated foods, saturated with taste, saturated with salt, saturated with sugar, whatever it is. So we tend, you know, so there is a retraining of the taste buds. So it's like I say to people that, you know, tell me, oh, my husband won't eat that and won't eat this, won't eat that. I say introduce it slowly. Do it,
yes.
And don't make a big deal of it. Don't make big, you know, bells and whistles and announcements. Just, you know, put it on the table and see what happens. But the best thing somebody can do that wants to be healthy is to be healthy themselves, because what happens is they start to see, oh, wow, they have more energy. Wow, they look good. Wow, they feel good. What are you doing?
You know, speaking of which, it was interesting. I had dinner with someone recently. It was a colleague, and I remember I sat with him for dinner, and he was telling me how he just loves junk food. And and you know, I looked at his face, and it was interesting because there was so many – the eyes were puffy, the face was puffy, and you could really see it.
Yeah.
The color was different
exactly.
On his face.
My partner and I, my boyfriend and I talk about it all the time. We'll see a person who's, you know, trying to be vibrant and whatever, and they've got this, what happens is it's too much acidic food, and it shows up in the face. It shows up in the texture of the skin. It becomes puffy, red. There's a lackluster in the eyes. There's just this, they look they look toxic at a level, and yet, you know, no one would say, oh, they got a disease, but at some level, it's the start of going downhill. And, you know, a lot of people that are addicted to junk food will say, oh, you know, it's just the way that I am, until it breaks them down and they can no longer do it.
You know, I've got a question that I'm sure my listeners would want to know. Do you think for you, Marielle, because you came from a famous family and you became famous at a young age, do you think in some ways that has made your life easier, easier to achieve your goals, or maybe not?
I think that at a certain level it opens doors, but it doesn't keep the doors open. You know what I mean? It's like,
you have to prove yourself.
Doors, but you've got to do the work. If you don't show up, then people aren't buying it. My passion for health and wellness and vitality and lifestyle is really how I live my life. Now, I've done a lot of crazy things to get there, and I think that's why I'm kind of a good voice for it, because I was like, oh, you know what? You don't have to go down that road. I tried it. It doesn't really work that well. Because, you know, by falling down on my face and having fears of going crazy or getting cancer like my mother or my ex-husband or, you know, having heart disease or whatever because it was in my family, led me to find tools that helped me to be healthier, more vital, and feel younger at an older age, because I feel younger than I did when I was in my 20s.
I know that feeling. It's interesting. I often say on the air that probably 70 to 80% of the people that I interview and who are experts are doing this work because they've been through it. They want to be healthier, so they live this lifestyle. I want to be more positive. I do these shows. You wanted to live a healthy life because you didn't want to be sick for your other reasons, and so that's why you do this. So we become good teachers.
Because you're mirroring what turns you on, so to speak. It's like, you know what? I want to share this because I feel so much better. So what's the point of keeping it to myself if I have an opportunity to share that with others, like you're doing?
Yeah. Well, I was doing this in the early 80s. I was doing positive interviews when people weren't doing them, and people told me I was crazy.
Exactly.
They said, nobody is going to buy this stuff. It's Pollyanna. It's fluff. And I stayed with it, and people are, because we need this more than ever now.
Oh, my gosh. Well, with the economy the way it is, the world the way that it is, it's really what people are searching out. You know, the whole idea, there was a lot of time where people were like so into the negative and they wanted to break people down. It was kind of part of the thing, and I really think that's shifting now. People don't want to hear bad things about other people, and they don't want to, because it brings them down. People want to heal at a deep level. They just don't know how. They just need tools, and they need guides, but they don't need gurus. You know, they just need people who can say, look, I've been down this road. I can help you because I have experience, not because I'm better than you, just because I've done this journey before, and here's the way I went. I just make suggestions. And I think people are really interested in that, because they need to find their healing within themselves. Everybody's healer lives in them. It's not about me, Marielle, or you, or anybody else outside. It's about, oh, I know what's right for me. I just need the tools to help me find that voice inside.
Right. All right, Marielle, closing thoughts. What would you like to leave our listeners today about good eating, about your Marielle's Kitchen, about your book, and about wellness and holistic and balanced living?
Well, I think that, you know, it's always a journey. Finding balance is always about, you know, is about balance. Where am I too excessive, and where am I not, you know, focused enough? It's about finding that journey, the middle ground where you really are walking your line. And that, you know, I think I want to reiterate that everyone out there has the ability to guide themselves. Whether they, you know, whether their inner nutritionist, their inner trainer, their inner meditator, all these things are within you. It's just about having the foresight and confidence to understand that your voice lies within you. It's never not there. But it's about having tools to find that in you. So whether it's Marielle's Kitchen or Healthy Living from the Inside Out or your show or whomever, whatever, whomever is able to give you the guidance you need to find your inner voice. That's, to me, what's really powerful. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I want you to go out and buy Bliskets in a couple months.
Absolutely. And I want to tell people to log on to your website, And
yes, MariellHemingway.com, which is brand new, by the way.
All right, terrific. And your book is Mariel's Kitchen, Simple Ingredients for a Delicious and Satisfying Life. And they can also get Healthy Living from the Inside Out in Bliskets, which will be your new book soon. And we'll have you on again soon.
Mariel,
thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure, as usual.